Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Devil in the Family, the new documentary that is out on Hulu right now, focusing on the Franke family, specifically Kevin Franke. It has reignited public debate over the Ruby Franke child abuse case, but this time the spotlight is on someone who wasn't behind bars, believe it or not, Kevin Franke. Was he a clueless husband caught in the gravitational pull of a manipulative therapist and a wife gone rogue? Or was he a passive enabler who let the unthinkable happen under his nose? Or was it kind of a gray area? Today, we're joined by retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreeke, an expert in behavioral analysis and deception, to help us break down Kevin's statements, his body language, and the psychological elements at play here. Robin, I know you had a chance to watch Devil in the Family, the Ruby Franke story. When you look at Kevin's interview, because this is really the first one that we've seen that really gets in-depth with the family and their specific perception, his explanations on how he was kept in the dark, manipulated, and ultimately exiled from his own family, what jumps out at you? Do you see genuine remorse and deception, or do you see someone who's still rationalizing his own inaction?
Yeah, boy. Movie night at the Dreeks is always a fun time. So yeah, I watched it. So I got lots of data points here, Tony. I'm going to really try to sequence it and break it down for everyone to understand what I saw from my perception. Mm-hmm. So watching the documentary, it was very congruous with the things I'd seen already and also what I'd read. Sherry Franke's book was really spot on. The documentary kind of filled a few gaps on Kevin's side that weren't there before, but they were very congruent with the things they were both saying, which was useful.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start out with three words that are really resonating with me throughout this entire thing. Ruby, Ruby, Ruby. Mm-hmm. This entire thing's about Ruby and her, and as her as a central figure and the spoke of the hub that kind of broke out. And then we're going to talk about these individuals that played a role in this.
Okay.
And you were right. So Kevin is both a dupe. He was manipulated and he was passive. There's a lot of things going on there, but his words in here really helped fill some data points. So let's first, I got to caveat things. We're going to talk about some elements and some doctrine inside of Church of Latter-day Saints, Mormons, that I got to caveat. I am not a theologian, an expert in this at all. I did a lot of my research here because I heard one key phrase during the interview that gave me an eye-opening clue that helped me understand their behavior, as well as things like Lori Day Belvallo, who mm-hmm. also used LDS as a justification for behavior.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to talk about that, but I got to say that's not my area of expertise. Sure. And also, I'm not a licensed clinician because I'm going to have my big time conjecture hat on a lot of this, because with all the data points we have, both from her book, from this documentary, from the case, I mean, I'm going to put it all together for you.
All right. Let's
go with the basic premise that all human beings, as I said before, are very predictable.
Mm-hmm.
That is, we all will act in terms of our own best interests, security, and prosperity for ourselves and those we care about. The key is to figure out what that person, the other person, thinks that is from their perspective. So that's the first thing. And now, based on that, we're going to act in those best interests in terms of our background, our how we were brought up, our belief systems, and also our traumas that we went through, because we have a lot of trauma triggers and responses throughout life, which give us insecurity responses. And so with this understanding overarch, it's going to give an understanding of different behaviors in here that we got some data points on. So first, let's talk about the statement that was eye-opening to me that I locked onto right away. My wife is literally sitting next to me on the couch, and I heard this statement. I immediately wrote it down. And this is, they were talking about, and I think it was, I can't remember if it was Ruby or Kevin. It's about unclean souls, unclean people. And so I did a search on the statement, and it was, and this is from the Book of Mormon, which is extrapolated from the Bible, and it's from 3 Nephi 7:19.
Okay.
And no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom, therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have been washed their garments in my blood because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. What the statement was no unclean things can go to heaven. Mm-hmm. And now it all fell into place. Because what did Lori Day Bavallo say about her children? They were zombies. They were unclean. They need to be cleansed. And what Ruby was doing with the two younger children, she kept saying at the very end through all the abuse that her and Jody were doing was that they were unclean. They had demons. So in their belief system, they had to purge them of the uncleanliness to make them holy enough to make it into heaven. That's the rationalization. That's the arc throughout. Mm-hmm. So then I took a little bit of deeper dive here on some of the things that were really struck me with Kevin. So here you have Ruby and Kevin going to college. Kevin, they don't really go into his backstory and his origin story too much. All we knew from Kevin was he saw and met Ruby and he was fixated. He was on a tear to make Ruby his. Mm-hmm. Ruby, on the other hand, which we got to see in the documentary, was Ruby had a chart.
Yes.
She had a massive wall chart with all these potential guys, and she had a scoring system for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin was on it. He was one of many.
Yeah.
And so now we ask ourselves, that's interesting.
What's the reason for this?
Well, here's who does that. Someone who, through the data points we're getting through her statements, and this is mostly from her statements as well as from Sherry's book, talking about her mother. Mm-hmm. Ruby was always in competition with her sisters. Her sisters had YouTube channels before Ruby did. So she's always in competition. And also Ruby always was, and because this is part of the LDS doctrine, is the highest thing you can achieve, and Ruby said this, is being a mother. Mm-hmm. The title and position of mother. And it's interesting how it's just a title and position of mother and what that means. And throughout, Ruby's mother would always tell her, you can never talk to me as a peer and be my friend until you actually achieve motherhood like me. And so she objectified everyone and everything mm-hmm. to achieve her end for that insecurity of making this connection with her mother. Mm-hmm. So her children were levers to make this connection with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin was a lever to become a mother. And that's why she was systematic in what she did. It's why she's a successful YouTube vlogger.
Mm-hmm.
Usually is successful. They made it to the point where they're making over $100,000 a month mm-hmm. on YouTube alone.
Yeah.
Huge hits, huge following.
Yeah.
And so that's Ruby's arc right there. Kevin was nothing but a screwdriver to serve her ends. He was a tool mm-hmm. because you could tell she charted it out. Okay. Yeah. So that's it. Her children were the same thing. Inside the LDS doc, again, I'm extrapolating here. In order to be clean, one of the areas, now we're going to get into Jody Hildebrandt a little bit. One of the areas to be clean or unclean in is morals. And right here, moral cleanliness. The LDS faith places a strong emphasis on sexual purity and moral cleanliness. This includes chastity before marriage, fidelity within marriage, and avoidance of pornography and sexual immorality. That last statement right there, I kept asking myself, why during both Sherry's book and this documentary, do I keep hearing all this stuff about pornography?
Yeah.
Why does Jody keep bringing this up with Chad? So what Jody was doing was, so Jody herself, and that's, you know, Ruby's cohort, mm-hmm. she, and I can't find much on her ex-husband. She has two estranged adult daughters, and she's got an ex-husband. Again, look at the relationships around and the health of them to see the health of the individual. She grew up in the LDS faith as well. Mm-hmm. She knows the doctrine really well. One of Jody's co-workers that she was a clinician with said that she was very skilled. She was really good until she wasn't, until mm-hmm. she got de-licensed because of sharing information that she wasn't allowed to share.
Yeah.
So what What Jodi started doing was she knew the levers of influence or manipulation, levers of manipulation, using the doctrine of LDS, this uncleanliness and sexual morality and impurity. So that's what she, and she knew how to love bomb like cult leaders do, given validation because she's a clinician. She knew the triggers that everyone had. She knew where to give them validation, what would motivate them, and the shame to show them in their sexual immorality as a lever of manipulation if they fell out of line with her. And so that's kind of a backdrop. So now let's get back to Kevin.
Yeah.
What Kevin was doing was he was all in on Team Ruby. Ruby was doing all she could to be this mother, to compete with her sisters. Inside LDS itself, they were very much promoting vlogging because it promoted and showcased to the world healthy Mormon lifestyles. And so it was encouraged by the church. Their entire mindset, this goes into Kevin's world, as you were saying at the beginning, was it part of who he was? Their entire belief system was all surrounded from the LDS Mormon church. All these things are extremely congruent. And that's so he was all in on Team Ruby because the Mormon church prioritizes, if I got the sequence right, family, God, church. Inside the family structure, they say it's pretty much in balance, but they place the marriage above the children because when you actually have a good, healthy marriage, the children will turn out well. Mm-hmm. And so that's the rationale that was going on there. Team Ruby, she's all in. Mm-hmm. Jodi enters the picture. Jodi's been wronged by an ex-husband. She stated, and other people have stated, that she was sexually abused when she was younger. So she's using that background of hers and that trauma response and her skills as a therapist to suck people in, mm-hmm. lever of manipulation if you fall out of line. And so she fell in love with Ruby because Ruby had this ability to have massive followings. They're both looking at the world like screwdrivers because neither of them had empathy. Mm-hmm. Very, very little empathy, because how can you treat another human being, especially your children, like this, justifying your actions, saying they're unclean? Mm-hmm. So that's the whole background of that. Now, I'm watching Kevin's reactions throughout this during the interview when his siblings came up. I did not see a whole lot of remorse.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of embarrassment because of what happened, like after the fact. But he, at the very end, I still got the entire, even though he's filed for a divorce now, I don't know if he's rescinded or not. I'm still trying to look that up.
Yeah.
But he was still Team Ruby.
Yeah.
Everything was Team Ruby. And here's the final thing that tells you this. So when Ruby calls him after 1 year of zero contact, because Ruby told him, in order to save our marriage, remember, he's all in on the marriage, not the kids, the marriage to her. In order to save the marriage, you need to leave. I invite you to leave our marriage. I invite you to leave our house. And she used that as and no contact, zero contact with the kids. She said no contact with me, the kids, or anyone else. Here he is working on the same campus that his daughter Sherry was going to, zero contact. She reached out to him once. He then blocked her.
Yeah.
So when Ruby out of the blue calls him 1 year later and says, this is your chance of redemption, Kevin. It's like, oh, Ruby might let me back into her life. What do you need me to do? I need you to go pick up the kids at the police station. No questions asked.
Uh-huh.
He just jumps. She sets the bar and he's all in. When he got there and they start revealing facts, data, and truth to him, you saw his mind was being twisted, mm-hmm. because he was so entrenched in the groupthink that had been created around him. Started with his religion background, solid as that was, but then it got manipulated through those levers of manipulation that would both Jodi and Ruby were using to control him for their ends. Oh, I hope that made sense. And there's a lot more data points in there, but I wanted to kind of explain what I saw through the arc of everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I think there was a very good in-depth analysis of what we saw there. And I've been taking notes as you've been talking, because there's a lot of points there I want to dig into a little bit more.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.